concern. This is my retrospective in a letter written from a...
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points, the radio show. Welcome to it, everybody.
It's here again.
Happy, hold on one second. Happy 100th episode,
That's
Bear.
That's 99 more than the first one.
We have 100 episodes that will be very soon shared on iTunes, hosted on iTunes. This, I think I have to post last week's show, and then this show will make it the 100th episode. And that's from season three till now. So
right, that's everything that's hosted.
That's everything that's hosted, and that's honestly, season three marked the beginning of Experience Points, where we started doing sort of like music and talk just like mostly music and then like a little bit of talk.
But it wasn't as good because I wasn't here.
It was, and it wasn't, you know what, for season three, you did, season one and season two, it was not really seasons. It was the first two semesters I was the only one
there. I remember when you were doing that.
It was it was way back in, I think, 2005, 2009. It was a long time ago. It was 2009.
It was
It was 2009. Yeah. I was here by myself, and I was we were doing music, and
they still hadn't kicked us out.
And they still hadn't kicked us out. And then I had Will North. Will North was my very first co-host. Yeah. And then we tried Waffle and multiple co-hosts for a while. Everybody on there, and now we just kind of settled on Bear and myself. So
yeah, y'all are stuck with me. I'm sorry.
We've been here, I think, 12 more weeks.
12 more episodes, and that'll be my 100th.
That'll be your 100th birthday for 100 years. 100 years of Bear.
100 years. Wow. What are these, radio years?
That's it.
I guess every week's a year in radio.
Every week's a year in radio.
That sounds accurate.
For those that don't know, Experience Points is a show where we drop some nerd and geek knowledge on you all the time, every Wednesday from 9 to 10. That's what we're here to do. It's our primary function. We've loaded up the priorities. We've got our prime directives. We're looking at you.
You're looking at me, actually.
I'm looking at you.
He's looking at me.
The reason I'm
so
looking
I guess
at
I'm
Bear,
looking at you.
The reason I'm looking at Bear is because he's the keeper of the keys. He knows where all of our audio and all of our information is held.
I am the gatekeeper.
Bear, what is the website?
You have to go to your web browser and go to exppoints.com. But remember, double tap the P.
If you want to look us up on social media, that's easy to do. You go to exppoints.com/social, and it will show you all of the stuff. All of the Facebooks and all the Google Pluses and all the Twitters and all the YouTubes
and all
of that.
Still waiting Google Plus to die.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Before I forget and before we get too long in this, we started the entire hour off with Bring Back Toonami by Richie Branson. Really, really awesome stuff there. We're going to cut to two songs.
It's such a good message.
It was a good message.
It really
is. We should
bring
back Toonami.
The real Toonami, as he points out.
So I think that they, yeah, exactly. The real Toonami, not this like April Fool's stuff. I think they started doing that. I think they wanted to bring back Toonami.
Well, they tried, but it wasn't good.
Well, they probably, honestly, that's the thing. I think they could probably bring back the exact lineup that Toonami had. And it would
I'd watch
work.
It would but that's just because I'm old and nostalgic
like,
of them.
I'm sorry, but like that mid-90s, early to mid-90s anime, that worked. Dragon Ball Z, that worked.
Speaking of early Toonamis, I was walking through the uni the other day, and on the TV, someone was watching Outlaw Star.
Good.
It made me happy.
Good.
I'm glad that y'all are carrying the nerd torch.
That's it. You got to pass it down. The link will never die, as long as, it's right there with you. Got to do that.
Your turn.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna cut to two songs. We're gonna come back. We're talking about what we did last week. This is a song we saw it today. This is from Postmodern Jukebox, Scott Bradley featuring Sari Niemitz. This is the Pokemon theme as jazz.
Because Postmodern Jukebox is amazing.
And then we're gonna follow that up with a classic, Helix Nebula by Anna Monoguchi. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone,
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Helix Nebula by Anna Monoguchi. Before that, Pokemon theme by Scott Bradley featuring Sari Niemitz off of the Postmodern Jukebox new stuff.
Is there anything Postmodern Jukebox can't make
it
awesomer?
It is really cool. Like, they take, modern songs and make them,
Wrecking Ball.
Yeah,
they did that.
Yeah.
It was, Guilty Pleasure, I like their version of Wrecking Ball.
I know, right? Like, well, I mean, you're not the only one.
Have to admit it.
I also like it.
Oh, okay, that's
this
good.
Is the section of the show where we talk about what we did this past week. Bear, what did you do?
I got rid of my cell phone carrier.
Is that because you just realized you're bad at cell phones? You just like break cell phones all the time?
I do cell phones a lot.
So what's up? What's up?
No, what's up? Actually, you know how I get obsessed with things?
Oh,
my
yeah.
current kick is cutting out my monthly bills. Like I cut down on Netflix and everything. Everything I wouldn't really... benefiting from.
Yeah.
And I got to look, I was paying almost $90 a month for a cell phone.
That's nice.
That's
nice. That's nice, like with an asterisk in front of it. It's like
that's
not nice.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I got to looking. My friend Lance has been using Ting for 2 years now.
You said Ting?
Ting. T-I-N-G.
T-I-N-G.
Is the network. Right. Switch over to them. They're kind of, they do pay buckets. So the more you use, the more you pay. But so if you don't use data, which was the big thing for me because I realized I work in, on a university surrounded by Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah. There's a ton of
I don't use that much data.
There's a lot of Wi-Fi around us all the time.
Yeah, there's Wi-Fi's everywhere. And I, you know, had this huge data plan and everything, and it would never even get close to getting used. So I switched over to that and ported my phone number, so I didn't change, which I'm famous for, is changing phone numbers.
Everyone I remember I have all three of your phone numbers. Yeah. They all have very interesting pictures attached to them.
Oh, I'm sure. Anyway, so I ported my current number to my Google Voice. And that had a feature that I didn't realize at the time.
What is it?
Your SMS text messages go through it. So,
oh, okay.
Again, with Ting, you have a bucket for SMS, but I don't receive any because it goes through Google Hangouts, which goes over data.
I see.
Which I'm on Wi-Fi, which means,
you
yay!
Save, you double save.
Yeah, so much savings.
Very cool.
So that's exciting for me. And
very
that's neat. Pretty much what I've been up
that's
to.
That's all you've been doing?
And I've been shopping for spaceships, but I'm holding off because I want to play Star Citizen, but it's not anywhere close to having
wait,
a
hold
release.
On. Wait, the way you started is, I've been shopping for spaceships. So are you, so for those that don't know.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore. I've been talking to SpaceX. They said this Dragon lift capsule, you could probably, crew of six.
We need a monkey. We tried monkeys. We tried dogs. We need a bear.
Maybe a bear.
We need a bear in space. So for those that don't know, Star Citizen, which is supposedly is coming out sometimes next year.
That's what they're saying.
We hope, you know, second quarter 2016. But maybe more like fall, so third quarter 2016. But anyway, eventually when it does come out, it's supposed to be the biggest, greatest thing ever. You're not even going to need to leave your house because
you'll be able to leave. There's no reason to anymore.
All right, you'll have everything in Star Citizen. So you can use real money and buy spaceships.
That kind of how they're funding it right now. It was originally, I think, a Kickstarter.
It was a Kickstarter. I backed
it.
I backed it a long time ago.
Okay, so you're on that.
I am on
it. I somehow missed this completely that it existed.
Yeah, so
it came into my
mind. I like Chris Roberts. Chris Roberts did Wing Commander. He did Freelancer. I really
like
those
games. All this stuff, I'm like, oh wow, and yeah, learn about him. But right now they're continuing the funding by selling spaceships, so you can buy. I mean, there's some. I don't think there's one for like $20, but I don't think that actually gets you the game. So there's about $70 range,
right?
And that'll actually get you the game with it.
Yeah, if you backed it a long time ago, then you get the game. When it releases, if it releases, hopefully when it releases, the game, a ship like the starter ship. You may even get another ship based on your tier that you backed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then you get a bunch of things that are like extra buyable things in the game. Then the really cool thing is that you could use real money to get the ships, or you could just play the game and get the ships.
Right. Well, in fact, they're kind of building an economy even this early on with it, because there's some ships that won't always go on sale.
Right.
And won't be able, you can't even purchase with real money. And I think they may do vice versa at some point. You know, like special edition ships.
I hope that they don't do that, because I never want to be pressured to spend real Earth money, real U.S. dollars, to play a game that I've already purchased that I know that I can attain these items via in-game currency. Make them a limited time, sure, but don't make it so that I have to spend 100 USD to try to like.
Right,
you know,
because you have to be careful with that, because you're going to have the pay-to-win problem.
Right, right.
And that's what I don't want to see in Star Citizen. But like, if you release like, you know, a special edition ship that has to be purchased for real actual money, you know, say that there's, just say you released 100 of them, and that's all that's ever going to exist.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
I could see it being...
Big thing with Star Citizen is most games, you know, you're tied, like, the Space Sim's out right
Elite.
Now. Elite Dangerous, thank you. You're really tied to your ship.
Yeah.
But Elite Dangerous, they're really trying to make this a full universe where...
Star Citizen, you mean?
Yeah, that... What did I say?
You said Elite Dangerous.
Okay, well,
they're actually, fun fact, Elite Dangerous is releasing a patch fairly soon that's going to allow you to get out of your ship and explore the rest of the thing.
Very
so
nice.
It'll give a little bit more of a, I'm not a guy in a ship, I'm a guy that can be
ship.
In a ship. Who owns a ship?
Yeah, that's what I'm liking about Star Citizen. It appears that I exist in this universe. Also, by the way, I have a spaceship.
Yeah, well, and they're going for a full aspect. They're
Which
full,
is a huge
a full,
undertaking.
A full immersive, full stat game in Star Citizen where you're a guy. You're a guy. You can be a bounty hunter. You have a gun. You have a blaster. You have a knife. You have all this stuff. It's a first person shooter. It's a puzzle game. It's an RTS. It's a dating sim. It's a space. it's a space sim. You know, it's everything. It's like the big, and that's why they're saying it's so big.
Right.
It really could fall hard because it's trying to do everything.
It could, but it could also turn out amazing.
It could turn out amazing.
And I will, graphically, Star Citizen and Elite Dangerous both look wonderful right now.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, I really like where Star Citizen's going, and I hope it does make its release date, and I hope it's awesome.
It just has to release. That's all it has to do. It just has to release after, you know, all the hype and everything.
Yeah, the hype. Well, like I said, I got hyped over the weekend because I went through and watched all their media. And by the way, their commercials are amazing. Best.
You could tell which star, you know, the fake manufacturers.
So, well, the thing is, in their universe, they have manufacturers. Like, we have Ford and Dodge
GNC
and all them. They have companies that make spaceships, and you buy them through them and such.
Right.
So all these companies are advertising their spaceships.
Dude, the commercials are great. They're very high
Galactic
quality.
Galactic Gear.
I want to say Top Gear.
Yeah, they did the Top Gear. It was amazing.
I'd have to fact check myself, but I'm pretty sure they played one of these commercials during the Super Bowl.
Really?
I think they played one of the spaceship commercials during the Super Bowl. That may have been a rumor. I didn't watch the Super Bowl, so I didn't see it.
Sports ball.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Earth ball. What's Earth ball?
I don't know. I'm trying to get into drone racing. I bought a drone racer today.
Very cool. See, that's something you should include in this segment.
I should include that in this segment? Well, okay. Well, I bought a little spaceship that doesn't go into space.
That's good.
And so, yeah, no, I should actually be getting that around Christmas because my mom might be buying it for me and she doesn't know yet.
Oh, okay.
You know, always trying to save money. It's my thing right now, remember?
Save that money. Cut down in bills.
So what did you do?
So I'm still working through Soma. Soma is a really, really, really dark game, and I love every bit of it.
Turn up the brightness.
I've heard that the ending of this game is going to. It's one of those games that like sticks with you after you've played it, and the ending is so deep. Like, so to kind of compare it so far, there are games out there like Deus Ex Human Revolution where the game itself is really, really great. The ending is not that good.
Yeah,
the ending is the biggest letdown. You know, really ever. And some people could even say Mass Effect is the same way. The game.
I still have to play 3, I know.
The game series itself is really, really good. The journey is very, very, it's a fantastic journey. But the ending, it would have been better if it just never happened, if the game just corrupted itself at the end.
That's my understanding.
You know,
yeah.
So I've heard that Soma's ending is not like that. Soma's ending is so in your face, predictable, and everything. But it still hurts. Like, it still hurts you.
Like, you know what's coming. You know what's happening, but it's going to happen.
It's like a fear. It's like, you know, a jump scare fear or whatever. You know that there's going to be jump scares in the game, and you still get scared when a thing comes out of you.
Reality happens.
Right, when reality happens. No, I actually, this past week, I didn't do a lot of video gaming. I had a reception, a wedding reception, my wedding reception.
Yay, congratulations.
3 months.
You made it
3 months before we got to actually have a party. So
I
did that, and we had a great time with that. We went ahead and I went ahead and I bought Fallout 4.
I started to play
Fallout 4, so we're going to have a little bit of Fallout news in a little bit. But that was pretty much it.
I've watched a lot of Fallout 4.
Yeah, Fallout 4 is a nice game. I like it so far. So we'll cut to two songs. We'll come back and we'll start diving into Fallout Four and a few other things. This is Throwing Fire by Ronald Jenkins, and after that, Legend of Zelda by Vomitron. I'm MG,
and I'm Red Bear.
We'll catch you back after the break on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was The Legend of Zelda by Vomitron. Before that, Throwing Fire by Ronald Jenkins. Fun fact, very soon, I think in February, there will be a symphony in New Orleans, the Sanger Theater. There will be the Legend of Zelda symphony.
In February.
Awesome. I think February, maybe March. But yeah, so more on that later, like in a month or two, whenever the that's the craziest thing. So I'm going to the Beauty and the Beast play
right
at the Sanger, and then I'm going to the Nutcracker.
Have you been to the Beauty and the Beast yet?
No, not
yet. Is that
yet.
Disney's production?
I believe.
Like the official Disney?
I believe
Broadway
it's. Yeah, it's the Broadway
it's
version.
It's amazing, by the way. You'll enjoy it.
My wife's favorite, movie. So
she's
wanted to go and see it. So we got tickets. And it's the craziest thing. Like, pre-sales apparently take forever because there's like a VIP section, and that's the first people that get to buy tickets. And I imagine there are people with like big hats, like big, you know, tails with the big wigs and like the monocles with their, oh yes, and the sticks with the binoculars on them. Anyway, but that's happening. So whatever.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Cool. Good for you.
Let's go over some of the obvious news. Fallout 4.
That's the thing.
Tomb Raider Rise of the Tomb Raider. Or Lara Croft Rise of the Tomb Raider. And Legacy of the Void, StarCraft II, the final chapter, the third part of the trilogy of StarCraft II, all released on the exact same day.
And the only one anyone knows about is Fallout.
Fallout 4. Everybody's been playing and talking and everything. Now, to be fair, real StarCraft fans, so pretty much everyone in South Korea. I'll make the South Korean joke. Everyone in South Korea and all the competitive, you know, gamers, they're playing StarCraft. They know about StarCraft. It was on their radar already. Fallout 4 is not competitive or online in any real way. And while there is some multiplayer in Tomb Raider, the newest Tomb Raider, it's not competitive multiplayer as you know, the same
not like
thing
StarCraft.
As, not in any way like StarCraft. So, well, let's hit StarCraft first because
which one is this? Void?
This is
Void?
Legacy of the Void. This is Protoss. Yeah, okay. So, some facts for you. Back in 2010, July 2010, Blizzard released Wings of Liberty. That was the first third of StarCraft II. And I didn't like that. I didn't like how they went from going StarCraft and then StarCraft's Brood War, which was a big expansion, to the original 1998 StarCraft. I didn't like how I would then have to wait for each third of the story. I didn't like that I was only playing as Terran, and I didn't get to also play through the story as the Zerg or Protoss immediately. But
I agree.
I've got to say, they were able to develop...
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, but they were able to develop certain mechanics and certain gameplay devices to be used that I feel like you wouldn't have been able to really do it in a timely manner if you would have focused on the entire game. Not to mention that each third of this thing is literally like, you know, I think it was a couple extra megabytes. The entire game overall is only 14 or 15 megabytes, or gigabytes.
I was going to say, what?
It's super compressed.
Wow.
So it's really bad.
Resources, yeah.
Anyway, 5.5 years after July 2010, they finished it. They put out Legacy of the Void. We've got it. And again, I think with the exception of those hardcore players.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even pick up the second one yet.
Really? You haven't? Yeah. That's Heart of the Swarm?
Yeah, Heart of the Swarm. So I have Wings of Liberty. I beat it.
The fun fact, Heart of the Swarm and Wings of Liberty, both $9 right now. So you can get $20 if you would like. $20 both of them if you haven't started at all. $20 and then $40. So $60 complete, which, to be honest, like Fallout 4 was $60.
Right.
To be fair, you could buy it for $50.99 on DL Gamer, I think. And it activated on Steam, so that's what I did. But then you've got Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is only an Xbox One exclusive right now, I believe, which is going to be, you know, $55 to $60. So if you want a game, you know, an entire series of games, are very long, and you like
for
RTSs.
For the price of one.
Right, for the price of one, you like RTSs, and you haven't played StarCraft II. There's a lot of ifs there. But you should get that. You should get Wings of Liberty, Heart of Swarm, and Legacy of the Void. So,
well, like you said, that was the problem with it. Like, it took Heart of the Swarm so long to come out. I'm ADD and just kind of moved on.
Right. Yeah. So now you get to experience all of them.
Now would probably be a good time to buy them.
The great thing is that, you know, 17 years ago, 1998, that's when the first StarCraft came out.
17 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
Dang it.
Yeah, it was. Totally
last
was.
Year was 2000.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So the great thing about this is even though the main storyline might, you know, like StarCraft II's storyline will finish.
Right.
And again, I haven't beaten StarCraft II, so I don't know if what I'm saying is correct. I am almost certain, I mean, I guess I could just end the universe, but I'm almost certain that StarCraft is going to continue.
I wouldn't see why, you know, Blizzard would cut off a series like that.
You know, they're spinning up Overwatch, a new IP, Overwatch, which is not going to be free. Thanks, BlizzCon told them, not going to be free. Everyone thought it was going to be like Team Fortress 2. It is not going to be Team Fortress 2. It's going to be $40, and it's not going to be free. But Overwatch is looking to be really good. They're spinning up new IPs. I can't imagine they're going to cut off their old IPs. So
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, so
they're working on the movie.
The StarCraft movie?
Warcraft movie. Warcraft movie. Isn't that coming out?
It's coming out next year,
summer,
I think.
Next
year.
I don't know. I'm not excited about it, but...
It's one of those things where it's like, I like the interaction of StarCraft, or of Warcraft. I don't really care so much about the movie.
Well, here's the thing, though.
They're separate universes anyway, so...
Video game movies are never good.
Right.
That being said, Blizzard's cinematics have always been amazing.
Right. Well...
And their storytelling abilities.
You know what a lot of people are saying about this movie is that it might push Blizzard back more into making the original trilogies of Warcraft. So Warcraft 1, 2, and then 3.
That would be awesome.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an HD remake of Warcraft 1 and 2. You got everything. Just do it. You just got to do it. Fun.
God, that just never gonna die.
Fun separate thing about Shia LaBeouf. There is currently a thing right now where Shia LaBeouf is watching all of his own movies, and he gave out the address in New York of a theater where anyone could just walk in and watch his movies with him. So he's watching them in reverse chronological order. There's like 3 days of Shia LaBeouf movies, and he's gonna be there the entire time.
Why are we not in New York?
There's a live stream.
I know what I'm watching after the show.
Just Shia LaBeouf watching his own movies. It's literally.
I didn't know that was existing.
The camera's like 4 feet in front of Shia LaBeouf's face, and you see him just like looking past the camera, and lights flashing around because it's a movie screen.
I mean, are they streaming the movies also?
No. Oh, so you just see Shia LaBeouf seeing himself, and like
I wish they also had a stream of the movies they were showing.
No, I don't think they can.
I know
do
that's
that,
a licensing thing.
Yeah. So two things before we move past StarCraft. I know it's hard. So there was a kind of like a prologue chapter that you could have played without buying. You had to have Heart of the Swarm, I think, but without buying Legacy of the Void, you could play. It was called the Whispers of Oblivion. That kind of preps you for Legacy of the Void. But even if you didn't do that, there's a cinematic called Story So Far that kind of puts everything in perspective. And even if you played all the StarCraft games, it will get you right. It'll get you right where you need to be. So I
like the fact they have a cinematic to catch you up on the story.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, last week I started playing Halo 4.
Yeah.
And I noticed right after you woke up, there's that little console that literally tells you what Master Chief's been doing.
Why am I on the Forward Until Dawn? Until Dawn. What
am
I doing?
You literally have not played any of the Halo series and just watch that little slideshow. It's an actual slideshow that tells you why.
But, man, Forward Until Dawn's breaking
up. That PowerPoint.
Forward Until Dawn's breaking up. I know you just got off a Jeep. We're gonna load the PowerPoint
up.
Here's a Prezi of what happened in the last couple years, Chief. You'll need this while you float through space, suspended animation space. Well, very cool. So StarCraft is out. I will be playing it. I will be giving my what's up either via blog or next show.
All right. Fallout.
Well, hold on. Let's just say this. I don't have an Xbox One. I haven't been playing the Tomb Raider game. I will pick it up probably once it comes out for PC, but I haven't been playing it. I've heard people say that they like it, but what's not to like? I mean, it's Lara Croft, it's Tomb Raider. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really disliked, except for Angel of Darkness, we don't talk about that, and all the Game Boy ports, and those stupid little isometric ones that they put out. I don't think I've ever disliked a Tomb Raider game.
Main canon?
Yeah, the main canon. And they better not count Angel of Darkness as main canon. I don't think they do.
No, I know fans really don't.
I don't think they do. And then at the same time, Chronicles. I want to know what happened directly after Chronicles. I know they restarted the entire universe with the 2014 Tomb Raider, but whatever. Anyway, so we haven't played Tomb Raider. We might if I find an Xbox One or someone gives me one, I'll buy it and I'll try it. But it might be a good Christmas present. Wife, give me anyway.
Tip, nudge, wink, wink.
So Fallout 4, Returning to the Wasteland. Man, it never felt so good.
So I have not yet purchased it.
What?
That being said.
What? Oh, man.
I know what I'm doing tonight. Actually, I may do that tonight.
It's only 24 gigs. Do it.
I do have 4 terabytes of RAID 1 space.
Yeah. And now you have a blue cable connected to your computer.
I do. That's been a big issue. Yeah. No, I have not purchased it, but I've been watching streams and friends play it.
Yeah.
So I keep reading. Everyone's upset about the graphics, but...
So I am sort of also a little upset about the graphics. And
are you?
My thing is, there's a difference between design choices, like graphical design choices, artistic creativity and design. And I think, and then, you know, actual bad graphics or whatever. I think what happened with, like, low-quality graphics, I think what's happened here is there is an aesthetic that Bethesda is trying to adhere to. There's a certain nice aesthetic. And if you haven't watched or listened to our Fallout show where we describe like what Fallout is in the universe and everything, I would go and check that out. It's in the check on iTunes or check in Stitcher or check on the site. Just, yeah, you know, there. Find it. But effectively, the Fallout universe exists in a world after we dropped the nuclear bombs. Transistors never got made. So everything is atomic powered or similar. So everything's bigger and bulkier.
It's a retro future.
It's a future retro, yeah. Retro future.
I got it. I know what I'm doing.
Well, there's a difference between the order matters. Anyway, long story short, you're a guy, you were in the army, you're in the military. As per your service, you get free admission to the Vault Tech Vault local in your area. And thankfully, on the same day you get this free admission, you have to go to the vault. You and your wife and your son are there. I know. It's just ignore the exposition. This is within 30 minutes, you're in and out of the vault. So that's great. You go down to the vault. Somebody steals your son, kills your wife. You're in cryo. Unexpected cryo. Don't you hate it when surprise cryo happens? surprise cryo.
I guess it sounds about Shia surprise.
Anyway, so we were talking about tongue teasers, tongue twisters earlier.
Yeah.
So anyway, you get out of this. The batteries die in the vault, and you get woken up and everything, and you find that everyone's dead in the vault, and you go up.
Master Chief, we need you.
You get woken up, and you ride the elevator, and you show up, and you're in Boston. Oh, no.
Wait. The batteries went out, and then you rode the elevator.
Yeah, I think there's like I imagine cryo takes a lot more juice than batteries for like an elevator.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know. I've never been in cryo.
Anyway, and then you start going throughout the entire game. And within minutes.
So we're in Boston this time.
Boston. Within minutes, you have your first companion. Dog meat,
yay.
Within, you know, less than an hour or two, maybe just an hour, you have yet another companion that can shoot something in way of a futuristic Minutemen, future retro Minutemen. And then you start to pick apart all the little things. Like you get power armor almost immediately.
Oh, really? How do I feel about that?
Almost immediately you get power armor. And I guess the thing is, because you were in the military in the past,
yeah, that makes
and they
sense.
Were developing power armor at that time, then maybe you knew how to use it, so you didn't have to worry about going through training like you did in Fallout 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I work for my power armor, dang it.
It's really interesting because they've tacked on a lot of extra things. Like there's an entire, it almost seems like they've melded Fallout Shelter, like the mobile Fallout Shelter game, mm-hmm. and Fallout 4 together, because you have settlements that you can make better with defenses, with power, with crops, with all of this, you know, like base building, micromanagement type stuff, and it will attract settlers, and these settlers will cross trade with you, and sometimes that's the only way to get materials and different things for other stuff. So the crafting system has been completely overhauled.
How do you like the crafting system?
I do like the crafting system. I like it a lot, but something that I really wish I could do is dismantle objects on the fly. Like I'm carrying around like 4 or 5 hot plates that I've just found throughout these buildings because you can get circuitry from them. And one day when I find a workbench that I can break things down, I will then break them down into circuitry and steel.
That's how circuitry works, guys.
That's how circuitry works. You smash a hot plate with a wrench and you get circuitry.
I wish.
It's a great departure from the other Fallouts, the nameless, voiceless, like, protagonist.
Yeah.
There's
so much voice acting in this one.
You've got... Everything's voice acted.
From what I've been listening
to. It is very much cinematic. It's almost as if Bethesda looked at Dragon Age Inquisition or some BioWare games out there that are full on like that. That's what it reminds me of. But
and
back
they can
to the,
even say your name.
You can I'll even you say your back. Name if your name's a normal name.
Former roommate who has a crazy name worked.
There's 1,000-ish names that Mr. Handy or Codsworth in there can say. They changed the special system around though a little bit. So,
have you heard the special rap?
Yes,
that was amazing.
Yes, yes, I have. I didn't have it prepared for the show. Also, I don't think we can play that on the air. I think
I would have to edit.
I don't know
if it's possible.
So it used to be special. You had perks, and you would throw things into points, and that'd be it. You would get points here and there, but that would be it. You'd perk out afterwards. So now you add points, perk points to your base stats as well as other perks, as well. So you So, like, you have perks like Lady Killer. Like Lady Killer.
Okay, Lady Killer.
It used to be that you had to be a certain level to get Lady Killer. You really don't need to be a certain level. You just need to have certain base stats before you can get that perk. And then you need to spend one of your points leveling up on that perk. So, you know, if you need to have, like, intelligence, too, to kill a woman, apparently, in the game or whatever, or strength. There's still the bobblehead thing, so you can get a free point if you find the bobbleheads. Also a weird thing. I should just be called Charisma of the Game, because you have to put a lot of points into Charisma, because it's like more heavily weighted than anything else, because it allows you to talk to people. And when you talk to people, you can choose what to say in certain ways that will change with a random roll. There's some dice rolling going on in the background.
I used to save right before I had an important conversation. Just reload.
You still want to do that. I was talking to a robot, and I kept trying to do the good outcome for me, like choice. And it.
I'm booting up my Pip Boy.
What are you doing?
I'm booting up my Pip
Boy. Oh, you're showing me the Pip Boy on the Nexus.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they changed a lot. Now, I started all this rant about graphics. I never answered the graphics
question. No, you didn't. They did change a little bit of an art decision. Right. Everything's brighter.
They have a weather system. All of this stuff is good, I think. But the problem is, when you compare it side by side to Fallout 3, what I think you find is that it looks very similar. Like, all of the assets look very similar. And that's because they have an art decision. They have a design decision about how these, you know, how these things look, or how these things are supposed to look.
Right.
And I think people wanted Crysis. That's what they wanted. They wanted Crysis in the grimdark future, and they got Fallout. But it's like probably the same artists are working on Fallout 4 that were working on Fallout 3. You know,
I would say
the
so,
same
probably.
Foliage and the same trees and everything. Everything looks nicer, but it's not like it's going to blow you away. And that is sort of one of those.
That's what I've been looking at. It looks like the graphics to me don't look bad. They're not amazingly new.
Right.
And I think that's what everyone wanted. I think they blown away.
Yeah, they wanted to be blown away. And that's what people are saying. They said this game looks like it could be produced 2 years after the previous, after New Vegas, instead of 7 years after New Vegas, or after 3. So,
but again, graphics don't make a game.
Graphics do not make a game. The gameplay so far is really, really good. I like the settler aspect. I'm probably going to play or spend way too much time building up the bases and doing things like that. So we'll see. Last little bit of news. Well, two little last bits of news, and then we're going to cut to our final set of songs and then end the show out. Betamax. This is something that is like in my way back bin. The Betamax, which
never existed.
Well, no, it's since 1975.
Capacity.
1975. The Betamax first came out. It was Sony's, version of tape-based recording media. Right. And then a year later, JVC released a VHS. We know the VHS because no one knows what the Betamax is, but they know what the VHS is. Maybe.
Maybe in that generation now where people don't know what a VHS is.
It was the first format war that we really knew about because, and I mean, I guess you could argue like vinyl records versus cassette tapes or 8-tracks or whatever, but that's whatever. They had notable better differences here and there. There were differences with Betamax versus the VHS. For instance, Betamax was more expensive initially because Sony was the only one manufacturing it, whereas JVC licensed out a bunch of different manufacturers to make VHS tapes, so the cost was able to be much, much lower.
And I believe you skipped as to why you brought this up, though.
Oh, no, I'm getting there. That's going to be what I'm going to end at, yeah.
Oh,
I'm telling you the reason, the build-up.
I'm going to hang on to your hats.
Betamax could initially, they could record something on Betamax for, and you need a separate recorder. You had like a VCR, and then you had like a Betamax recorder. They were two separate devices.
Yeah, completely different.
So VCRs did VHSs, Betamax recorders, obviously Betamax. But so the regular Betamax tape, when it came out, could only record for an hour. Later, they extended that to 2 hours with long play formats. But the VHS could do 2 hours at the gate and then 4 hours later. Now, eventually, they increased Betamax and VHS more to where they could record more. But obviously, VHS became more popular.
Yes.
And because it was cheaper, it was more accessible, it held more things. You could put an entire football game on it. You could watch an entire movie on it. You could record a lot more on it. And, so anyway, it won the format wars. Way back in the
80s. Everyone got a VCR.
Way back in the 80s. Now, the Betamax was superior, though, because Betamax was able to support something called TVL, more TVL. It's TV lines or vertical line, TV vertical lines.
Right.
250 over 240. The problem was TVs back in the day, you really couldn't see any difference. Ten more lines on a 12-inch set. Eh.
It's like the high refresh rates today.
Right. It's after a certain point, you really didn't notice it. 240 is very, very low. It's not that good of quality. 250, it's still not that very good of quality. Yeah. It's only slightly better, but I guess that didn't really make up for the cost and the length and all the descriptions.
And if you're wondering why they were in lines, it's because the cathode ray tubes would scan back and forth.
Right.
And that's how many vertical scans you can have.
More vertical lines, the more definition you can get. But again, there was always a limit. So,
yeah.
Anyway, the only reason you're right, I bring this up is because since the 80s, we long since thought Betamax has been dead.
I assumed it's been dead.
Not true.
Who was there like one guy in his basement?
It's Sony. It's still Sony. Sony will stop selling Betamax videotapes.
Does Sony still sell Magic Gate stuff?
I don't think so. Well, yeah, no, they do.
They
because,
do. So, okay, so
because mini discs are still a thing. And then also
let your formats
PSP, and even though the Vita is a proprietary format, it still has a card reader. So Sony will stop selling Betamax tapes next March. So
yay.
It really should be the name of the segment should be Betamax is still being made.
So. No, I figured it out. They're not being made. They just had them left over in the warehouse.
It's like
this is the last Betamax to ever be sold.
That's how candy corn exists still. There's just a big giant warehouse of candy corn. I think it's like a Futurama joke or a Simpsons joke.
No, but seriously, Sony, let your formats die.
Oh, yeah.
You got Blu-ray. Come on, guys.
You lost. You won Blu-ray. HD DVD isn't a thing anymore, so whatever. And the final bit of news before we go to the songs and we come back is we finally get to have Quiet back in our missions in Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain.
Yeah, you told me about this.
After Mission 42, if you were good friends with Quiet, she would play the exit mission. You wouldn't get a choice in it. You'd have to go find her, save her. You'd kick some final butt together, and then she would go off. And I'm sorry if I spoiled something just now, but if you've been playing Metal Gear Solid V, you've gotten to that point. You've beat the game, and it doesn't matter. It's not something that's totally outlandish. You could have guessed it. But now, thankfully, in the latest patch, Konami has released a patch for this that allows you to play the Cloaked in Silence mission. That's, I think, mission number, 6 or 7, the mission where you get Quiet. If you play, or maybe it's like 15.
But this is what this part
is. Yeah, this is the part that's really confusing, and they only found this by digging in the code. If you play this mission 7 times, just over and over and over again, you still don't get Quiet back. The next time you go and you finish the mission, it'll change from replay to reunion, which is the tip. You go in there, you beat it again. The 8th time you beat it, you get Quiet back even after you've played 42. So you're able to continue playing with Quiet, which is crazy.
I don't understand. This is like forced replayability.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We are going to cut to 2 songs, come back, end out the show. This is a StarCraft remix by Polar Bear Productions and How to Fire a Gun by Shale Riley and the Double Ice Backfire. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Keep your arms and legs inside until this ride comes to a full and complete stop.
All right.
Make it happen.
How to fire one.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, but not for much longer. We're out of time. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And like I said, we're out of time.
I'm off
before,
the phone.
Before we head out, you just heard How to Fire a Gun by Shale Riley and the Double Ice Backfire. Before that, StarCraft remix by Polar Bear Productions. Thank you so much for listening. We do this every Wednesday from 8 to 9, or from 9 to 10, excuse me. That was the old time slot. I'm changing it up on you.
Get your head
we
up
have
right.
All of our old audio online. Bear, what website?
Head on over to exppoints.com and double tap the P.
We're on social media as well. That's exppoints.com/social for Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube and all that stuff. If you want to donate to the show, PayPal, Patreon, they're on the social website as well. And if you want to stream us or download us or sync us up to your podcast,
I like getting streamed.
iTunes, Stitcher, and online. So please check
Just do that.
We'll catch you next week. But we are going to leave you with Save World, Get Girl by I Fight Dragons. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
We'll see you next time on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.